Okay, this is an interview on April 10th with Donna Peanut. From what tribe?
Santa Ana Pueblo.
Okay. Donna, could you give me some of your educational background, starting with grammar school?
Grammar school. I went to the Santa Ana Day School in Santa Ana until I was in third grade. After that, I left. My mother remarried, and we had to move down to Isla de Pueblo. And there I attended the local day school until the sixth grade. After I left Isla de Day School, I then went to Santa Fe Indian School in 1968, where I completed my seventh grade year. And after my seventh grade year in Santa Fe, I came down to Albuquerque, and I attended John Adams Junior High here in Albuquerque for my eighth grade year. And after I completed my eighth grade year at John Adams, then I moved back to Santa Ana Pueblo, where I attended the local high school, Bernalillo High School. And from there I graduated. After I graduated from Bernalillo, I went on to Highlands University in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I left Highlands in the spring of 1968, and I have been out for approximately a year. And first I was here at the university working as a secretary at the Indian Community Action program here on the university. And I was moved up to the Sixth Sandoval County CAP program, and I worked there as a secretary for a while. They were short of funds, and ICAP here at the university loaned me to Sixth Sandoval CAP. And there was a turnover in personnel since the program didn't turn in their proposal for the following year. They were late in receiving funds. So then there was a job open for the teaching position in Santa Ana. So I applied for it. And of course, this had to go through the council for their approval. And from the council, it had to go to the personnel selection committee. And I did get the job. That is the reason why I'm teaching in Santa Ana right now. And I really enjoy teaching the children, being that they are of my own tribe. I seem to know what their needs are. I've been teaching them their numbers in Indian. See, most of my children have forgotten their Indian language. It's really quite a shame.
You're dealing with preschoolers?
I'm dealing with preschoolers ages 3 to 5. And I only have 2 3-year-olds. My teacher aide, Lucille Montoya, takes care or handles the 3 and 4-year-olds. And I handle the 5-year-olds and the much more mature 4-year-olds, the ones who attended Head Start, you know, the year before. And so we have a division of class days on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Tuesdays and Thursdays we get together as a group, you know, the two groups together. And we felt that this wasn't an advantage to the children, you know, separating them in groups, and that the other ones were much more immature to learn, say, for instance, their numbers, reciting their ABCs and such. And Lucille is teaching them their colors. They have learned their colors. She's now on the numbers and the ABCs, recognizing the letters. And I'm teaching my 5-year-olds how to write their names. Of course, most of them have to write their names before they came to school. And as I said, as a group, we have taught them how to say their numbers in Indian. Small phrases like yes and no, come here, what's your name, and what time is it? And I think we have accomplished something. They have increased their vocabulary.
Well, like, are they getting any help at home, or do their parents speak mostly English at home?
Their parents know how to speak Indian, but I don't think they speak to their children, you know, in a native tongue.
Right.
But when they do, when they do speak to the children in their native tongue, the children understand, but they won't respond in India. And I know that there are quite a few homes, just, you know, spots here and there in the village, whose parents constantly talk to the children in Indian, and the children have learned to speak the Indian language. But the majority of the children don't. And even when the older people, you know, the old folks, old people in the village speak to the, even the younger set, the teenagers in high school, when they speak to them in Indian, they respond in English. Although the older ones, the high school age, junior high students know how to speak Indian, they don't respond in Indian. Now I have, I'm sponsoring a youth program, and I encourage them to speak in Indian at our meetings. You know, we converse with each other in Indian instead of English. And of course we have a hard time, you know, with the bigger words or the words that we don't know how to say in Indian. We say it in English and say, well, wait, let's see whether we can find a word or, you know, sometimes the students go back and ask, well, how do you say this word? And they come back and, you know, bring it back to the club. And, well, I guess that's one way of keeping the Indian language at home. But the children, even when they play together, speak in English with each other. And I think it's really quite a shame that we are losing our Indian language in that way. Although, traditionally, most of my club members, being that they are the high school age, junior high, still participate in the Indian dances. And we do encourage this as a club, to go continue the Indian traditions and speaking the language. And I know that when they leave the club, they probably go back to speaking English. But as long as I'm around, and as long as we go someplace in a group, I still encourage, you know, the Indian language.
So there's a kind of a really noticeable loss of culture,
yes,
at Santa Ana?
Yes, they're at Santa Ana. And the younger set, I know that the parents who are really gung-ho about the Indian language, about keeping the Indian culture, really push their children, you know, to continue keeping it. I know my parents do. And as a result, I haven't lost it, and sometimes I sometimes stop to think and say, well, I think I believe more in my Indian religion than I do the Christian religion, being that there's so many changes in my church, in the Catholic, you know, I'm Catholic, and all these changes going on, and all these years they've made us believe that certain things were wrong, and that, you know, things of this nature, and all of a sudden, bang, they change the whole thing and say, well, geez, I was taught that this was a so-called mortal sin and that you went down there for it, you know, and now they say, well, no, it's not wrong. You can go ahead and do these things. And I don't know, I've seen a lot. I've seen for myself what the Indian religion can do. And although I can't tell you exactly what goes on, I mean, I've seen it for myself. And because I've seen it, that I have taken courses maybe in psychology and the different scientific fields, I try to evaluate it in that way when I do attend my Indian religions. And I say, well, is it really this way? But I sit there in my Indian ceremonials with an open mind, you know. I try not to soak in all what goes on in the sacred houses. But then again, I say, well, geez, I mean, there's no black magic or magic tricks going on. When I observe, you know, what the our medicine men go through, and I say, well, golly, maybe it is that way. And from all these observations and sitting there from what I've learned in college by going to school, I say, well, it's really so, you know. And maybe talking to you as a non-Indian, being that you've never been into these sacred houses, you probably say, well, you know, she's Indian, right? That's why she's putting you on, you know, telling you that, God, it's really so. But I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks this way, but as I said, I've sat in there with open minds, and I've sat in there thinking over what I've learned and relating it to what goes on in the sacred houses, and I say, gosh, it really is. And maybe to the non-Indian, it's superstition. It's something that can't really be. I mean, it's all in our minds, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's mainly because they don't understand it,
yeah,
and they don't try to understand
right.
it.
Right, that's it. They don't try to understand it. And they think, no, it's not. Those dumb Indians down in the reservations are all superstitious, you know. It's not really so, but I mean, to me, I really began to believe in that. And I don't know, maybe someday I'll lean all the way with my Hindu religion and leave the Christian religion. And then I find, as I compare the Christian religion with the Indian religion, I find some their theories and their teachings are you know, quite the same. And then I tell myself, well, no matter what kind of a God you've got, different names and different teachings, I feel, well, it's all back up to the same place, if there is such a thing as a supreme being, you know, which we believe in. I say, well, God, it's just that we practice it with different names in different ways, but it all goes back to the same supreme being that we all believe in up there, if there's such a thing as a supreme being. And I try to, try to put this across to my little students. And we even have our Indian dances. We taught them how to dance. And most of them do dance, and have danced, after we've had our dancing sessions in class. It's really amazing that some of these children would go out. Say, for instance, for Easter, I had quite a few of my Head Start children participating in the Easter dances, which some of them never have done. You know, I felt, well, I had a good satisfaction. Say, well, I taught them something, you know. They've gone up there and demonstrated to me. And parents were really amazed that they could learn, you know, their Indian language. And I after our Christmas program was when I first introduced the parents to their learning, you know, some phrases in our Indian language and their numbers. And they were really amazed that they could learn those things. And I told him, well, I think we're just losing it. And although you parents say, well, keep it, you know, keep our Indian religion, keep our Indian language, it is you that are, you know, pushing the younger generation away from it because you don't have them practice it in the home. And I think we're the only, I think Santa Ana and Laguna are really pulling away from the Indian traditions and culture.
Oh, they aren't as... conservative
they
as the
aren't
others.
As conservative as the others. And I know San Domingo, San Felipe are finding it difficult, especially for the non-Indian teachers there who don't speak the language. Of course, they have the Indian teacher aides, which help them a lot. But still, I think we're really having quite a problem with our Indian language. And as a result of their speaking the English language, you know, we got learning it as a second language. They catch on real fast with what I'm trying to put across education-wise, the white man's way of teaching them. And they really catch on fast. They really do. And I'm really proud of those children. As a matter of fact, Dr. Gilman told me that my children were ready to learn how to read. And it was amazing that I was already teaching them how to read, you know, by recognizing words. First I put a picture, say for instance, of a girl on a blackboard, and right beside it I write a girl. And if they don't remember the word itself, all they do is look at the picture and say, girl. And they've learned how to read sentences, there are two girls or there are four girls, you know. And I've been teaching them the adjective, using the right adjective with the right plural verbs. And I realized that this is a problem with most of the Indian children. That they have problems with using the plurals with the right adjectives or the right nouns or pronouns. Sometimes when they're talking about more than one thing, they say, there is horses. And I say, no, that's not the way you say it. This is the way there are horses. And they're beginning to catch on. I